Picture this. You're about 45 minutes into a cross country. Everything has been textbook. You're at 6,500, the air is smooth, you're maybe 15 miles from your planned waypoint, and the controller comes on the radio and says, you've got a line of weather moving in from the west about 20 miles off your nose, suggest you divert, and just like that, your beautiful flight plan, the one you spent 2 hours on the night before, with the neat little checkpoints and the wind-corrected headings and the perfect fuel math, it's garbage. Now what? This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and welcome to Traffic Pattern. Today we're going to walk through the in-flight diversion, not the theory of it, the actual do-it-in-the-cockpit mechanics of it, because this is an Airman Certification Standards task. The examiner on your check ride is absolutely going to ask you to divert at some point during the cross-country portion, and more importantly than that, this is the thing that saves your life on a real flight when the plan falls apart. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Alright, so what does the ACS actually say about diversion? Under the cross-country flight planning area, there's a specific task for diversion. The examiner is looking for a few concrete things. You need to select a suitable alternate airport, you need to make a reasonable estimate of heading, ground speed, arrival time, and fuel consumption to that alternate. You need to give proper consideration to the wind conditions, airplane performance, and fuel remaining, and you need to divert promptly toward the alternate. That word promptly is doing a lot of work there. Promptly doesn't mean you whip the airplane 90 degrees to the left and start pointing at random airports. Promptly means you don't sit there for 8 minutes fumbling with your iPad while you burn fuel flying the wrong direction. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The diversion is not a navigation problem, it's a prioritization problem. If you try to solve it in the order your flight instructor's whiteboard taught you, airport selection, heading, distance, time, fuel, get permission, turn, you will spend 5 minutes staring at a sectional while the airplane flies deeper into whatever problem you were trying to avoid. So let me give you the order I actually teach. Memorize this. Three words. Turn, climb, or descend if you need to. Then calculate. Turn first. Even a rough turn. You see weather off your nose? You see smoke in the cockpit? Your passenger just said they don't feel good? Pick a direction that's away from the problem. You don't need the airport picked yet, you just need the airplane pointed somewhere that isn't making the situation worse. A 45-degree turn away from weather buys you time, a 180 buys you more. Second, if altitude matters, climb or descend. If you're flying toward rising terrain and the weather is forcing you lower, that's a priority. If you're trying to get above a scattered layer or below a cloud deck so you can keep your cloud clearances, do that now. Altitude is time. Altitude is options. Third, now you calculate, and this is where I want to slow down because this is where students panic. Let me paint the scenario in full detail. You've turned northeast, away from the weather. You're now headed roughly 050. You know your planned route was 330 degrees magnetic. You were doing about 95 knots ground speed, and you had, let's say, 2 hours and 15 minutes of fuel left when you started the turn. Step 1. Pick the alternate. Open your sectional, or open 4Flight, or Garmin Pilot, or whatever you're flying with. Look at what's within about 30 nautical miles of your current position in the direction you just turned. You want three things from a good diversion airport. You want a runway long enough for your airplane, and I'd add 100 feet for every knot of gusty crosswind you're worried about. You want services if you can get them, fuel, a phone, a warm building, and you want it to be open. A lot of students pick the closest dot on the chart and don't realize it's a private strip, or it's closed for construction. Or the runway is gravel and they've never landed on gravel. So you look, you find, let's call it Millerton Regional, 5,000-foot paved runway, on your side of the weather, about 22 miles out, that'll do. Step 2, heading. Don't try to be precise. Look at your position on the chart. Look at the airport. Estimate the direction. You don't need 3 decimal place accuracy to start flying there. If it looks like roughly 080, turn to 080. You can refine it once you're pointed generally the right way. Modern panels, even a basic G5 with a small display or a tablet running 4Flight, will give you a direct align in about 3 button presses. Use the tools you have. Step 3, distance and time. Here's the pilot math trick. At 90 knots ground speed, you're covering a mile and a half every minute, so 22 miles is roughly 14-15 minutes. You don't need to pull out the E6B, you need a ballpark. If your airplane burns 9 gallons an hour, 15 minutes is about 2.25 gallons. You had enough fuel for 2 hours 15, you'll land with fuel to spare. Good, sanity check passed. Step 4. Talk to somebody. If you're already with flight following, tell the controller you're diverting. Give them the airport identifier. They will help you. If you're not on with anybody, set an appropriate squawk code and consider getting on with approach or center. You do not have to, but it's a force multiplier. One radio call, center Skyhawk 2345 Bravo, diverting to Millerton Regional due to weather, and now somebody knows where you are and where you're going. Step 5, weather at the alternate. Pull up the automated weather if the field has it, a tees or a woes or a sos, whichever they broadcast. Confirm the wind is something you can land in. Confirm the ceilings and visibility are above whatever minimums you're comfortable with. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen students pick a diversion airport without checking the weather there, and show up to find the ceiling is 800 overcast, and they're a VFR-only student pilot who now has a second emergency on their hands. Don't be that person. 10 seconds on the radio or the tablet saves the whole flight. Let me stop for a second and acknowledge something. This is a lot. I just gave you 5 steps, and in a real cockpit with weather pressing in, with your heart rate climbing, with a passenger who is now asking questions, it feels like a lot more than 5 steps. And this is why we practice it. The diversion is one of the most under-practiced tasks in private pilot training. Everybody practices steep turns, everybody practices power on and power off stalls, people drill slow flight until they can do it backwards. But the diversion, the one thing the examiner is almost guaranteed to ask for, and the one skill you will actually use in the real world, we tend to cover it once, maybe twice, and move on. Fix this. Next time you go flying with your instructor, or even on a solo if you're past that stage, file a short cross-country, 20-30 miles, halfway there, pretend the destination is closed, divert, do the whole thing. Pick an alternate, calculate, call somebody, land, do it again next flight, and again, by the 5th time, you will do it with your pulse at resting rate. Here's a second scenario to chew on. Different reason to divert. You departed on a 2-hour cross-country. Forecast winds aloft were 15 knots on the tail. Reality? The winds shifted overnight, and now you've got 25 knots on the nose. Your ground speed is 80, not the 120 you planned for. An hour in, you do the math, and you realize you're going to land at your destination with about 20 minutes of fuel in the tanks. That's below your personal minimums. It's probably below the Federal Aviation Administration minimums for VFR day flight, which is 30 minutes at normal cruise. Same process. Turn. But in this case, you don't necessarily turn away. You look at the chart and find a suitable airport on or near your current track. Maybe there's a nice midway airport with fuel sitting about 30 miles ahead and a bit to the east. Perfect. Divert. Get on the ground, fuel up, reassess. You have now turned a marginal flight into 2 safe flights, and you have learned an enormous lesson about winds aloft forecasts being a forecast, not a promise. One more thing I want to mention before we close this out. Automation, your tablet will solve most of this problem in 2 taps. Nearest airport, direct to, done. And I'm not going to tell you not to use that. Use it, that's what it's for. But, and this is the but, know how to do it without the tablet, because tablets die. Batteries overheat in a sun-baked cockpit. I have watched a student's iPad turn into a very expensive mirror at 3,000 feet above a state she'd never flown over before. If her whole diversion skill was tap, tap, direct to, she would have been in trouble, because she could also do it with a sectional and a thumb on the chart and a rough heading out the window. She was fine. Redundancy in skills matters as much as redundancy in equipment. Couple of real-world things I want to hit before we wrap. Number 1. Fuel diversions are different from weather diversions. If you're diverting because you miscalculated fuel, something isn't right with your burn, or headwinds ate into your reserves more than you expected, the math changes. You divert to the nearest suitable airport, not the one that's most convenient, nearest. And you tell someone on the radio. Fuel emergencies escalate faster than pilots expect. If you're into your reserves, declare minimum fuel. If it's worse than that, declare an emergency. Controllers want to help you. They cannot help you if you pretend everything is fine. Number 2, passenger comfort can be a reason to divert. If somebody in the airplane is airsick and not getting better, or having a medical issue, or scared to the point that it's affecting your ability to fly, land. You are the pilot in command. The ACS doesn't quiz you on this, but the regulations back you up. Fly the airplane to a safe place on the ground. That is always the right answer, and it will never be the wrong one. Number 3. The hardest diversion is the one where nothing's obviously wrong, you're just uneasy. The weather report looked a little worse than you expected. The airplane feels off, but you can't point to one thing. Your gut is telling you something. Listen to it. There's a saying in aviation, it's better to be on the ground wishing you were flying than in the air wishing you were on the ground. Turn land, you can always fly tomorrow. And one more, number 4, the startle factor is real. When something changes suddenly in the cockpit, your brain goes through a physiological startle response, heart rate spikes, tunnel vision, fine motor skills get worse. This is why we train. This is why you rehearse the diversion flow in your head on the ground, in the shower, on the drive to the airport. When your brain is startled, it will reach for the most familiar pattern. Make the diversion flow the most familiar pattern. Quick takeaway summary for your next flight. When something changes. Weather, fuel, airplane, passenger, gut feeling, turn first. Away from the problem, then decide about altitude, then pick an airport, estimate heading and time. Talk to someone and check the weather at the alternate. Practice this with your instructor until it feels normal, and when the real thing happens, you will be ready. Credit where it's due. The ACS Language on Diversion and the AOPA Air Safety Institute's training material on the subject both shaped how I teach this. Go look them up. They're free and they're good. More at radiohanger.com. Fly safe. Turn first, calculate second. I'll see you in the pattern.